So good morning, everyone. My name is Jessica Solares, and before I get started, I just want to acknowledge my partner in crime, Maria Lara. She's sitting here in the front, and her and I worked on this together. So the title of my presentation is Improving Self-Management Skills and Hemoglobin A1C Through a Community Health Worker Intervention. Here's my disclosure. Our learning objectives: evaluate the effectiveness of the described diabetes self-management program, describe how hemoglobin A1C can be positively impacted by a community health worker intervention, and lastly, identify other self-management tools or concepts that can be integrated into existing self-management programs for better clinical outcomes. So let me tell you a little bit more about the setting of this project. Ultimate Health Services is a federally qualified healthcare center based in Los Angeles. We have multiple sites in Los Angeles and Orange counties, so this is in Southern California. All of the patients are offered free health education services, to promote healthy lifestyles and improve patient health outcomes. We engage patients by doing the one-on-one counseling sessions or group sessions. It really depends on the patient's preference as to whether they do a group or a one-on-one session. And so, we've always known that these services were helping patients to feel better and have better outcomes when it came to their, their different lab work. But we wanted to be able to show it, with some more hard evidence. And so on our health education team, we have health educators and we have community health workers, although we call them promotoras. And so we wanted to systematically, keep track of a group of patients and be able to show, these are the kind of results that the team is having, that our CHWs are having. And so we were looking for two outcomes. One, non-clinical, so that was a change in self-efficacy based on a written evaluation. And then the other outcome we were looking for is a clinical outcome, so a change in hemoglobin A1C. For those of you not too familiar with diabetes, the hemoglobin A1C is an exam that pretty much tells your doctor how well you've been controlling your daily blood sugar for the last 3 months. So if you haven't been doing a good job, then that number will be high. And so that's what we wanted to change. And so the patients who participated in our intervention were all referred by their medical provider, and they were targeted based on their new diagnosis of diabetes or just because they weren't really doing a good job controlling their blood sugar. So we had about 29 patients who participated. The intervention consisted of 4 counseling sessions with the CHW, and it was over a 6-month period. The sessions were conducted face-to-face, and they could last anywhere between 60 to 90 minutes. So we really, the CHWs really took that time to sit with the patient and talk them through. And some of the topics that they discussed were, just the basics of diabetes. What is it? What happens when your blood sugar gets too low or too high? How can we set realistic goals, meal planning, stress management, the importance of doing your routine exams, your eye checkup, your foot checkup. So really focusing on lifestyle interventions. When it came to medication, we just encouraged them, take your medication as your doctor told you, but we really didn't go in depth. We really focused on lifestyle. And so all of the CHWs did follow-up phone calls with their patients, and what they really focused on during these conversations was, how are you doing with your self-management goal? The self-management goal was probably the most important tool, we think, in this intervention. So, we really encouraged the patient to do something that they felt was realistic, that they felt that they could accomplish. So this is what the CHW started that phone conversation with: how well are you doing? And then talking about what are the barriers to making those changes and kind of brainstorming, helping that patient to brainstorm to find some solutions. Before and after the intervention, each patient completed an evidence-based self-efficacy evaluation to determine what they perceived was their confidence level in managing their chronic condition. So that's basically self-efficacy. How confident do you feel that you can manage your chronic condition? And so again, as I mentioned earlier, we were also looking at or tracking hemoglobin A1C. So the evidence-based tool that we used for self-efficacy was created by Stanford University's Patient Education Research Center. So we didn't want to, you know, reinvent the wheel. We knew that this was evidence-based, so we used it. It's on a scoring system, and the higher you score, the higher self-efficacy. So when we were done with our, you know, intervention, in terms of the non-clinical outcome, we saw that 25 out of 29 patients improved their self-efficacy scores. So that's about 86% of patients that, you know, did better on that second or that post self-efficacy evaluation, meaning they felt more confident in managing their chronic condition. The average increase in scoring was 15 points. Although we did have patients who increased it as much by, you know, 30 points. And then that clinical outcome we were tracking, hemoglobin A1C, that 22 out of 29 patients reduced their A1C or lowered it, which was really good. And so the average change in A1C was a decrease of 0.57. May not seem like a big number, but when you're talking about this kind of exam, this lab value, it is a significant drop. The other thing we noticed was that there seemed to be what some researchers call an inverse relationship between self-efficacy scores and A1C, which makes sense, right? So essentially, those patients that got a higher self-efficacy score tended to do better improving their A1C. So it makes sense. The more self-confident you are about managing your chronic condition, the likelier you are to make those changes and eventually see a change in your hemoglobin A1C. So here are the results pretty much on any picture format, any graph format. You'll notice on the left side, that's before the intervention, the self-efficacy score represented by that blue bar was about, the average was again about 57 points. After the intervention, it increased to about an average of 72. So again, patients were feeling more self-confident about managing their own condition. And then before the intervention, their A1C was an average of about 8. And then post-intervention, it decreased to 7.5. So our conclusions were that, having this targeted health education intervention could really produce some great results in terms of patient outcomes. The CHWs, play a very crucial role in educating patients, but really motivating patients to change health behaviors. I think that's the key, is that there's something about the CHWs, their charisma, they're just being down to earth. They can really motivate patients and keep them engaged throughout that period. And so they were really instrumental in helping the patient improve this clinical outcome. And then we also felt that the evidence-based self-efficacy evaluation was a really helpful tool for tracking patient progress. So instead of waiting, 6-9 months to see a change in a lab value, which takes time, you could start looking at things like self-efficacy to kind of gauge whether or not the patient's on the right track. Because if their self-confidence is improving, then again, they're likelier to also improve their clinical outcome. And so improvement in self-efficacy scores can be a significant or an important precursor to improving hemoglobin A1C. So, short and sweet. Any questions?
We have time for a couple questions now if anyone wants to ask any questions.
Sure, up here.
Did you recruit type 1 and 2 or type 2?
Okay, let me just repeat your question, sir. Yeah. Did you recruit type 1s and type 2s? I think all of the ones who participated were just type 2 diabetes. Yeah. Question back there?
I'm wondering if the CHWs were scripted in the material that they needed to
Yes and no. I mean, we just kind of gave them general guidelines. For session one, you might want to hit these points. Session two, these points. So we gave them top subtopics and points to cover. But we also were very adamant about tailoring that session to the patient's needs. So always asking, well, what do you know already about diabetes? What would you like to know? What would you like us to help you with? Because there's no point in focusing on meal planning if the patient, I mean, doesn't want to start there. They might want to start with exercise or just taking their medications. So really, we really tried to tailor the presentations or the sessions to the patient's interest. Yes? Yes.
Why about like a distress or coping as a dimension
of diabetes care? What about it in terms of why didn't
you take a look at it, or why you chose self-efficacy as your only behavioral outcome because there are so many other things that you could measure, but you chose that one. So what was the rationale behind it?
Well, we just looked at that evaluation and it had different kind of questions, and we felt that some of it did cover that stress management aspect. So, and it was an evidence-based tool. So it was really just, we saw this, we came across this tool, we really liked it and kind of just wanted to go with it. But stress management was one of those things that we talked about with the patients. And we also offered them an opportunity to attend some of our group sessions. Not all of them did, but we just didn't use an official tool to look at that. Yeah.
I'm curious to know how many of your patients are actually new diagnoses of diabetes.
From this particular group, or just you know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many were new. We just kind of clumped it together. Either new diagnoses or poorly controlled. Yeah.
So we don't want to then think about your A1C decrease.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great point.
Yeah,
great point. But unfortunately, with this study, we didn't go that into depth.
What are your plans to embed your success in the accuracy day-to-day operation? Because you're gone now, so.
Well, we actually have CHWs embedded in the team, and they're full-time employees. And so we continue to do this. I mean, this is ongoing for us. We're just not systematically tracking it this way. All of our encounters do get documented into an electronic medical record system, but if we want to see results, we have to kind of pull that information from our EMR system. But I want to say that we're kind of doing it already. We've, you know, the CHW is a part of the team. They're a part of the organization. In fact, we have more CHWs and health educators on the team, and they're actually embedded at the clinic sites, whereas health educators are more, they're based out of a corporate site and kind of float around our clinics. CHWs are there on site. They're seeing patients every day. The provider can do a warm handoff. You know, they see a patient they identify needs health ed, and they just kind of walk over to the CHW and drop off that patient, and, you know, that health education session takes place. So,
yes. Can you mention the training?
Yeah, so by the time we did this, they were already, I guess you could say, trained. And what that training process looks like is as soon as they come on board with the health education team, they start shadowing other team members, observing them. We also send them to some off-site training through, for example, Kaiser Permanente does a 6-week chronic disease self-management training for us. So we also have them do some online training. So it's different types of trainings and different formats, but all of them focused on chronic disease management. And then we do a lot of observation of them and give them feedback as well. So. Correct. They're all full-time employees. And question back there.
I'm wondering what the ratio of CHWs to patients is. So how many patients or clients does one CHW manage?
So they don't have a patient panel quite yet. We're thinking about transitioning to that model, but for now, they really just have a daily goal of meeting and counseling at minimum 5 patients a day. So they work 8 hours a day, and the expectation is that they'll meet a minimum of 5 patients a day. Yeah.
Great. We're going to have some more time for questions.
Thank you. Thank you.